Welcome to the Angry Admins Podcast, November 14th, 2006, Episode 3. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Angry Admins Podcast. We are on Episode 3. We finally made it, Ryan. We are over halfway to Episode 5.
Well, that's amazing.
My name is Joe Bibby.
I'm Ryan Necessary.
And we are coming to you from Houston, Texas. This podcast is focused a little bit more on the business side of technology, unlike the rest of the technology podcasts out there. And we hope that that will bring you back and cause you to want to listen.
But we also reserve the right to not talk about the business part whenever we want.
That's right. Because that can get boring. So, did you see any interesting stories this week, Ryan?
Yeah, there's some stuff going on. First look, I thought it was going to be a slow news week because, you know, all we have is, you know, these game consoles coming out. But there is actually some more economic news on the media front. Looks like today is the Zune launch, the much ballyhooed Microsoft's competitor to the Apple iPod.
That's right. Welcome to the social.
That's what it says on their website. Welcome to the social.
Which is the dumbest line I've ever heard. First of all, to be social, it means you have to have another Zune nearby. And since, you know, it just came out today, you can't really be welcome to the social when there is no social yet. They should wait for that for next year.
Welcome to the alone.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, yes, because it doesn't talk to iPods.
Right, right. So, you know, it is an interesting release. They did try to separate themselves a little bit from the iPod by adding Wi-Fi, but you can't download songs with over the Wi-Fi. You can't sync with over the Wi-Fi. All you can do is send songs to another Zune, which seems very limiting, but I'm guessing that the RIAA kind of twisted their arm and forced them to limit it to something like that.
Yeah. What was it you were saying earlier about for every Zune sold, some money goes somewhere? What was that?
Oh, yeah. So for every Zune sold, a little bit of money goes to Universal Music, which is the first time a consumer audio playback device has contributed any sort of money towards a recording, a record company. So that means now there's a precedent set. For example, an iPod, you know, if they want to follow suit, they're going to have to give a little money to a record company. Or say, for example, if I buy just a basic old CD player, I mean, it just seems really stupid because I could easily just get all use it for independent artists or, you know, for local bands that aren't signed yet. No one says for sure that I'm guaranteed to use that for an artist who's signed by a record company, and they're already getting a huge cut of that sale. So why should they get a cut of the hardware sale used to play back that device? Right. Does that mean my computer is going to have that tax too?
No, I don't know. It's kind of a slippery slope. So I'm looking at the Zune website, and they've got an option here. It says shop for your favorite color, and the choices are black, brown, and white. So yeah, none of those are my favorite color. So, and the brown, I don't know. You said that you heard that the brown looked better in person.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you see an image, a picture of it, and it looks like, you know, it's the poo box. But I've heard that when you see it in person, it actually does look pretty good, similar to like the LG chocolate dark brown. But I think I'd still have to see it to believe it.
Yeah, it looks thick. I mean, compared to how thin the iPod is, I mean, it looks as thick as a grilled cheese sandwich.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. It looks big. It looks thicker than my old...
car?
My fourth gen iPod.
Oh, yes.
So, which is, you know, already a couple years old now, and Apple's moved way beyond that. The other thing that kind of throws me off is it's just like they wanted to copy the circle, even yeah. though their circle is not a scroll wheel. It's just a pad that is a directional pad. Right. So it seems like if they wanted to really be different, they could have made it a square with rounded off edges, so it matched the style of the player.
Right.
I think that would have been an interesting little twist. Whereas the circle, it just doesn't really seem to match anything else they're going for.
Yeah, but you can't be Web 2.0 with like square shapes, man.
Well, it'd be rounded corners. That's Web 2.0.
I guess, whatever.
I don't know. Yeah, so That's the Zune. I'm not that excited about it. I don't know. Are you excited about it, Ryan? You think you're going to get one?
That's a negative. Although it is interesting that we have a built-in FM radio. Well, I think, finally somebody decided that someone in the world would want a music player that picked up a radio station.
Right, right. So. And Creative has been doing that for a while, but I don't know too many people actually buy a Creative player. They just make all their money off of suing Apple.
Well, everybody's gotta have some sort of path, I guess.
Right. Hey, it's a successful business and model for probably 90% of American citizens, so yeah. Why shouldn't they follow suit?
Well, they have to get their money back after the RIAA sues them.
So. that's right, for part of their sales.
Right.
So a story I thought was interesting is Time Magazine released a 60 Years of Heroes story.
Mm-hmm.
You can see it on their website. And what was interesting is that Linus Torvalds was on that list, who, if you don't know already, you probably shouldn't be listening to this podcast, but he was basically the inventor of Linux, which has caused a pretty large revolution, especially on the server market, causing it to be much easier for people to use a Unix-type operating system. But I don't really understand why he's on the 60 Years of Hero list with people like Margaret Thatcher and Nelson Mandela. What do you think, Ryan?
I have to agree. I mean, not to discount what he did, because he was very young when he did this, but to put him on a list with, you know, some of the major, you know, social and political heroes of the last 60 years is, I don't know, I think that's stretching a little bit. Now, has he had an impact? Yes, he's had an impact on technology, and, you know, we all feel it, you know, every day if you work on servers or if you are on the net much, but I don't know if he's had the sweeping effect that, you know, some of these other big names have had, you know, on modern culture. So the other thing that I kind of take issue to is that, Linus Torvalds, you know, he was instrumental in, you know, creating the kernel, but what really took Linux so far was all of the open source developers that have been contributing to it all this time, mm-hmm. to really make it as useful as it is today. And I think they're kind of like the unsung heroes, you know, behind Linux. You know, I mean, I think a lot of attention is focused on this one guy because he's sort of the figurehead, but you know, really without all the support of the open source developer community, it wouldn't have went anywhere, I don't think.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, as far as I know, he didn't have much to do with any of the window managers, which, you know, without those, a lot of people would be afraid to use it. You know, a lot of people don't like a command-only interface now. You know, the hardcore people out there say, hey, that's all you need, which is true to some extent, but if you want to break into business desktops, you need a GUI. The other thing that's interesting is they have two categories. They have business and culture and rebels and leaders. And Linus was in the rebels and leaders category, which seems like he maybe would fit a little more in business. I mean, in the little blurb about him, they talk about how he's the anti-Bill Gates and, you know, open source is taking down Microsoft, which seems, I guess, a little rebel, but in my mind, it's more of a business plan.
Right. Well, even in the business list, I'm not sure that the Beatles belong on the same list with J.K. Rowling.
Right, so. Right. Yeah, it's you know, these magazines, they make these lists just to get press, and we're doing exactly what they want by talking about it, but...
Right.
I think it's at least nice to see a nod towards the Linux community, because it seems like it's on the brink of success every year and just doesn't quite make it. So the more press it gets, the better it is.
Right. Yeah, I'm sitting here trying to think, is there anyone that I would have put instead of him on the list that's in the technology realm? For him to be on the list and not Bill Gates, kind of odd, I guess. I mean, I'm not a Bill Gates fan, but you know, as far as somebody that spun something off that really changed everything,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm not.
Well, and to put him on a list that's covering a span of 60 years, I mean, going all the way back to 1946, I can't imagine that there's not somebody else who fits in that category who probably maybe is a little more important. I mean, you know, in my mind, again, he's definitely a geek hero. But is he a hero for the entire world? I'm not so sure that he really deserves to be on the list.
Yeah.
But if you disagree, go ahead and feel free to leave us a comment on angryadmins.com.
Yep, but just be nice.
That's right.
The other thing I noticed, I just picked up on this today, was the Internet Explorer 7. You know, we talked briefly last week about, or maybe not so briefly, about the IE7 browser coming around, being launched around the same time as Firefox 2.0. And now it looks like if you have XP Service Pack 2 and you have auto updates turned on, you are going to get this. So I guess they've decided that it's a high enough priority that they're just going to push it and install it for you without you specifically asking for it. So do you think that's, do you think it's good, Joe? Is it going to matter?
So half of me likes this idea and half of me hates it. The sysadmin in me says, don't push patches on me, even if I have auto updates turned on that are a major overhaul. You know, auto updates should be limited to things like fixing security holes, updating serious flaws, but rolling out a new version of their browser, it just seems like a pathetic attempt to gain ground back from Firefox. Not that Firefox is surpassing IE in any way, but it just seems like Microsoft, again, holding your hand, saying, this is where you need to go, and we're going to make you go there.
Well, maybe they feel like a big chunk of their users aren't tech savvy enough to even get to download, to choose to download this.
True.
So they're just going to, like, you know, spoon feed it, you know, without their consent. So
yeah, I mean, and so the other half of me, the designer half, loves it because I want to see IE6 die a very, very fast and quick death.
Right.
Because it doesn't follow standards. I can't use my nice 24-bit pings, which have nice transparencies. And there's just a lot of things where I have to hack a website to get it to look good in Firefox and IE6, whereas IE7 fixes a lot of those problems.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad to see IE6 go away. But I see business users blocking this update, and it's going to probably be a year before it's really rolled out, because I'm sure there's websites that are broken because of it. And you have a... You have a lot of people using old intranets that probably need IE6 to still be functioning. So
right. So. I tell you what, I do like it also if pushing this breaks all of the people's infected IE6 browsers, mm-hmm. that they've never cleaned up for years. And,
yes.
You know, they got worms and Trojans and this and that. And, I mean, they don't know anything about, oh, do I need an antivirus and what's that? And
mm-hmm.
So if pushing this, although... Now that I think about it, if they're that infected, they probably don't have auto updates turned on.
Yeah, they're probably still running Windows Millennium Edition.
Yeah, so I don't know. I guess the sooner we get better browsers, the better off we'll all be. But
yeah, I agree. And so, you know, either way, it's good and bad, I think, and that's kind of how things always go. So and we do have a little bit more Microsoft news. We seem to be heavily leaning towards Microsoft news in the last few episodes, but they've been in the news a lot, so we have to cover it.
Yeah, it's either that or talk about Wii.
That's right. That's right. So Vista went gold. It was either today or yesterday, so that's going to start shipping to manufacturers. But along with that, Ryan, you found an interesting story about a little feature in Vista.
Yeah, I'm looking for the notes for it. Basically, what I read earlier was... Vista is going to let you do this thing where you give your machine a unique name. And what that'll mean is you can always find your machine on the net, even if you don't have a registered DNS URL. So basically, you know, pretty much this turns every Vista computer that has this turned on into, I guess, a web server, a file server. So you'll be able to just... You know, from anywhere on vacation, whatever, you'll be able to just hit this machine based on this name. The thing about it was it's going to be Vista only, and it relies on IPv6, which is not supported on, you know, a big chunk of the internet still. You know, we're still at IPv4. So a lot of folks' home routers is not supporting IPv6. So I think there's a way for it to roll back to IPv4 if it recognizes that. But that's going to be, you know, a performance hit for working on it. But what I don't know, Joe, what do you think about, you know, people being able to, you know, hit their machines from anywhere, you know, with this new sort of DNS name?
I think it's an interesting concept to let anybody get access to their machine from anywhere. If they're using it as a web server type project, I don't really like that idea of having, you know, a machine easily be able to be on the web. just with a name. I think we'll just, the internet's already getting so flooded with garbage, with ugly pages like MySpace, which I hate. especially their autoplay of audio, and we'll see a lot more of that if this happens. But you know, if it's not a web server thing, if it's just like a remote desktop connection, if it's just being able to get access to your files, I think that can be a good thing. I'm sure there's a gaping security hole that already exists that will be found in about 2 seconds.
Right.
And probably is already being exploited while we sit here.
Right.
But it's nice to see things getting pushed forward. IPv6 is going to be fantastic once it rolls out, so I'm glad that it's included. I'm glad that, from what I understand, Vista includes IPv6 by default, and if it can't connect to an IPv6, it rolls back to IPv4. So that's good. Whether that affects the internet as a whole, I have concerns about that with so many IPv6 machines coming live all at the same time. I know there's been a lot of testing, and it's been around for a while, but it could cause problems.
Right. So it looks like they're calling this the Peer Name Resolution Protocol, the PNRP, slightly ungraceful. But this is going to be the protocol that's floating around on the IPv6 that lets you track down this machine. The weird thing is I think they said that like it's a random group.